tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, Salem, welcome back. Marissa and I are finally here. Things are going to be normal from now on in season two. I'm Bobby DeMuro. That's Marissa Serafini. This is the way it's going to go from here on out, thankfully. Anna will probably come fill in at some points, but her schedule's kind of hectic right now, so that's okay.
But we're back.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And the show is back, and it's been back for a few episodes, but now we've got, like, scheduled. It's going. Apologies for the slowness.
Back into the rhythm.
Yeah, exactly.
Team Bobby and Marissa.
Thank God. All right, hey, we are talking about From Within today. You are watching the Salem After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. And before we go any further, because we are back and because we got so many good comments last season, we got so many good tweets and stuff, we want you guys to keep doing that. So if you are listening on iTunes, hit subscribe if you haven't already. You can rate us 5 stars. You can leave a nice comment. I don't know, talk about how intelligent we are, how good-looking we are. No, I'm just kidding. You can comment about the show. You can also tweet us, at Bobby DeMuro, at Serafini TV. You can send us tweets right now, or really all week,
whatever.
We check Twitter like 24-7. And you can tweet us about the show. We'd love to hear your opinions. Or if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe and comment below this video, because we check those comments literally every day. We like responding to comments on YouTube, so do it. That's a good way to get at us. Enough, like, marketing stuff. Let's just jump in. Yeah, forget
that. Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about the election. We got a lot of stuff going on today. I like this episode. I saw last week's, even though I wasn't on the show. I liked this episode a lot better. Last week was so fast with so much stuff. I was taking notes and, like, you know, scribbling and scribbling and scribbling, and I couldn't watch. Today was a little bit slower, and that didn't mean boring. It was just a little bit better paced out, I think.
I feel like today's episode, there were so many people playing against each other.
Yeah.
Because the first two episodes this season is all about this person is up to no good, and now it's learning about everyone. Now it's this episode tonight is everyone playing each other and the whole power struggle that's always going on in Salem.
The chess match starts, man.
Yeah.
The chess match begins. And this episode, not a ton of stuff happened. I mean, the election was big, but we don't quite know how yet. But
they're
not
all tied together.
Yeah, a lot of foretelling, I guess, is coming. Obviously, Corwin loses his tongue. You know, there are things that happen, but nothing to any major character thus far. George, Mary, John. You know, there wasn't any life changer this episode. But a lot of stuff gets set up. So let's start with the first setup, and that is Hawthorne, the new magistrate. How much of a threat does he pose to Mary? Because he's a jerk. He's sexist.
Yeah. He's very, very sexist and chauvinistic. But I think that's the only thing that he has going for him. He has a lot of empty threats and empty promises going against Mary. But really, just threatening is not as scary as what Mary can do to him.
I don't think, even though he understands the witches, as far as we know, to a certain extent, and he understands the problem in Salem, I don't think he knows what he's in for messing with Mary. Yeah. George Sibley was the toughest guy we've ever seen. And in that, remember the first episode of last season, the pilot episode, George was a bad dude. And Mary has him quivering like a bitch.
Yeah.
Like she has him groveling and begging to die. Hawthorne does not know what he's getting into.
No, and even this episode, George now has control over his own speech, and he's still afraid of Mary.
Yeah.
And still succumbing to whatever she wants him to do and all of her misdoings.
That's kind of the most interesting part of this election is George, because we know so much more about George than we do about Hawthorne. George had the opportunity with all the, the city, the selectmen or whatever, had the opportunity with them there when he was speaking to really just sell out and say, you know what? I don't want Mary to use me. I'm going to die anyways. This is what's going on. Help. Here's what's happening. I got to go with Hawthorne. Mary's a witch. Blah, blah, blah. Knowing he's eventually going to get killed either way. There's no way George makes it out of this alive. Mary even said to him in that scene when she was telling him her proposition, she was like, your life as you know it is over. So she's playing her hand too far. What's the incentive for George to help her? He's eventually going to die anyways.
Yeah, and there's no incentive. So what I think is just maybe him just wanting to live longer.
and the thing about him, like his legend and keeping his land and stuff, if this were like a normal like divorce case or an extortion, maybe you would think about that stuff. I don't know. But this is such supernatural stuff. He's been in such suffering. I feel like you've gone so far beyond the legacy in this mortal realm because there's a supernatural here and George knows it. Mm-hmm. Who cares about your land? Who cares about your legacy? Like, dude, it's not going to get any... You're not going to, like, you know, go hang out as a retired guy for 20 years like nothing happened. You're going to be a prisoner until you die.
Yeah, but I think that's also an interesting fact that the reason why Mary had to go back to a human type of weakness, his legacy and everything that he built up and he can easily lose. Because he survived all of Mary's evil witchcraft and that dark magic. So maybe that's something that she's kind of learned that, hey, it can like stop him for a while. But in the end, he's still that mean old man who has that power. He's power hungry and that superiority complex that he always has. So go back to that. That is his true weakness.
Yeah, I was going to say, and vanity and ego are probably his true weakness.
Yeah.
And I guess legacy does play into vanity and ego, so she can get him with that.
But that's a very human type of trait.
It is, and she can't get him with that forever.
No.
If you're going to keep, you know, making him go through hell, literally, as far as he's concerned, again and again and again, after a while, he's going to say, I don't care about my land. I'm gonna need to screw you. Now, maybe he's biding his time to figure out how he can do that, but he had a real good opportunity when all the selectmen were at dinner to just be a whistleblower and just see what would come of it.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for George to completely go against Mary Darnall.
100%.
Be like, okay, when they had that agreement, like, yes, I will speak for you, but then literally turn it around during that whole showdown meeting, and no, we didn't see that.
And I know Mary
which
also...
Which is interesting. So I think, sorry to...
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It might get into predictions territory, but I think farther down he might turn. He's just waiting to play the right card.
I think he is waiting to play the right card, but Mary also kind of convinces him, you know, Hawthorne is your enemy. And we sort of are supposed to take that for granted after the first couple episodes that George and Hawthorne go way back, mm-hmm. even though we never saw Hawthorne in season one. But how big of an enemy could Hawthorne be relative to what Mary's been? Like, nobody is worse than Mary as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, because, I don't think Hawthorne is as big as a threat.
Because he's a human. He can't do as much.
Yeah, and only because we have had this whole season one, we know what Mary is capable of. We don't know what Hawthorne is.
Yeah.
If he really is just human.
Yeah.
Or not. Maybe he's a demon.
I guess he could be.
He
but
could
like,
be. I wouldn't put it past him.
I miss Magistrate Hale, to tell you the truth.
Because he was an asshole.
Yeah, he was an asshole, but I just, like, miss his character. He was a strong presence. I feel like...
But also, he tortured people.
He did.
Like, physically and mentally, so he brought something scary to the show.
Yeah.
And this new magistrate hasn't.
I feel like, from a maybe behind-the-scenes perspective, and this is speculation, but it's interesting, I think, when Hale left, and maybe we'll see Hale again later, who knows, but when he's, you know, departed now... it's almost as if the writers and producers are taking Wainwright, the Countess, Hawthorne, and increasing Anne Hale's roles and trying to figure out what combination of these four can replace Magistrate Hale's character. And maybe more are coming. And I think the rest of this season or whatever, you'll see all of them. You'll see Wainwright, you'll see Hawthorne. And then after about a season of this, they'll test, you know, ratings or focus groups or whatever.
Right.
And they'll look at kind of their writing boards and they'll say, okay,
let's get rid of these.
Let's pick one. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's go with Wainwright. Let's go with Hale. Or mm-hmm. let's go with Hawthorne.
Whoever.
And they're kind of testing the waters right now. I don't like Wainwright, and I don't like Hawthorne. I don't dislike either one, but both of them I'm like,
they haven't done anything yet.
They haven't, that's true. And we'll talk about that kiss later.
Yeah, I was like, we'll get more into Wainwright. I think he as a person, his character, is interesting enough. Just like his whole background, how he got into it, his viewpoint on the world and why he's doing everything.
Yeah.
I think that in and of itself, his philosophy is interesting. Him as a person, we'll see what he brings to the table.
Who knows? And I just know Hawthorne makes a pretty good villain. In the mortal sense for Mary, because he is chauvinistic, he's mean, he's blunt. We like these things. It's good confrontation.
Just another person that Mary should go up against. It was like everyone she goes up against is sexist.
But guess
so
what?
Why not add another one?
He ain't no Increase Mather.
No.
That's for damn sure.
No.
You lost some strong characters with Increase Mather and Magistrate Hale. And I know it's the third episode of the season, but this is my first time being here. I just want, like, that's one thing to comment on is Hawthorne. I don't mind him. Wainwright, we'll see. He needs to develop more. Yeah. But I'm like, boy, do I miss Hale and Increase Mather right now. Increase Mather made this show last season.
Oh, for an enemy, yeah. Yes. An enemy to definitely root against.
Do you remember us? Like, four episodes in, we were like, we're not sure about this. And he came on the scene, and we were like, whoa! Yeah. This is the guy!
The whole show turned around. I completely agree. And I think it's because we got rid of such a strong character in that way. They're taking all those qualities and attributes he had and dispersing them throughout.
Yeah.
Like, those four people that you mentioned.
I think so. And I think you'll see Anne's role increase.
A lot
increase.
Of shows do that with their characters.
Yeah, you
if
have
they,
to.
You get rid of a main character or someone who had a big storyline, you spread them throughout other characters you already have.
And that's also part of the reason why, because you lose Increase, because you lose Magistrate Hale, who was just such a strong presence. He was such a leader, mm-hmm. even though he was really not a, you know, he was a witch. But you get rid of those guys, and then Mary is now over the top. She's super aggressive all the time. George is talking again because we need some more confrontation.
We need more guys to speak.
Yeah, and then we've got John just hanging out over here. And we all kind of, we don't forget about him, but we take it for granted. We're like, John's, you know, peeping his way around
John
over here.
John has his own one-man mission going on.
Listen, he's going to have a day. There's going to be a day coming soon. Next week, the week after, it's going to be like John City 1 week, and he's going to do everything he possibly can, and it's building up to that.
Yeah. But, yeah, we definitely got that tonight. He's starting. Yeah. He's at the beginning.
I think so. So this election, well, let's talk about the disgusting stuff. Let's talk about Corwin.
Yes, let's get it out of
there. I know you hate the tongue being cut out, which is pretty gross, especially, you know, from, like, voodoo, kind of, like, from far away.
Right.
But the thing that I hate the most, and I don't know why, is the stabbing of the foot when he's invisible and you can see the footprints. Like, the idea of, like, your eyes being messed with or your feet being messed with. For some reason, like, because feet are sensitive. Like, you know, people
get
tattoos on them.
Yeah, they have the most senses in your feet.
It hurts because it's bone and it's nerves
and
stuff.
Nerve endings.
So, like, take a knife through there.
See, that doesn't bother me as much as the jaw ripping open. My TMJ jaw hurt for Corwin, so I know that pain. And then also, literally followed up with tongue physically getting cut out.
If you...
And the sound effect to it, the sound mixing, good on Salem for, like, really grossing us out.
Yeah.
But, ooh, did not need to see that.
If you gave me an ultimatum, and I don't want to live in a world where this ultimatum would ever exist, but if you said, Bobby, you can either have your tongue cut out, or we're going to take a knife and go all the way through your foot on a hard stab, I'd be like, never talking again.
Really?
Gonna keep my foot. Because, like, things to me, like, I know, like, you probably wouldn't lose your foot if you got to a hospital and stuff. It'd be like, whatever. But I feel like I'd rather walk than talk, which is ironic. Don't quote me on that and then, like, you know, ask me to shut up. People are going to tweet me and be like, okay, stop talking. I would rather, like, just a foot for me, John stabbing him through the foot was just like, man.
See, okay. I could be bedridden for a while because then I could just watch TVs and movies.
That's true.
And still talk about it. So, yeah, we go.
I don't want the knife to physically go through the foot. That was
the tongue cutting
part.
Out and the blood spurting out and the jaw popping, which is
Corwin
every day of my
all.
Life.
Corwin got it all.
Yeah.
Don't think we'll be seeing him much
5 seconds. Ooh, poor dude.
But John did his job. And
yes,
John
did.
Already knew that Mary was the person, and he wasn't probably going to get anything else out of Corwin. So John probably did what he should have done.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you were John, what else would you have done? There's nothing else, right? I don't think he would have tracked and confronted Mary in her home. You're still biding your time for that. You're not ready to do that yet.
I think it's interesting how John knew that. I mean, we did see them in the church talking to each other, so. But, I mean, it's good that John went after Corwin, who's obviously the less powerful, but he's definitely who does he have the balls to go up against? Who's more powerful than Corwin?
Well, I mean, we know he's going to go up against. He has to go up against Mary at some point
eventually.
And I think, and not to get in predictions, but I think he could probably. He doesn't have much to lose. So, at some point, he's either...
If he leaves Salem, he dies anyways. So.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And he's kind of... The stuff he's been through already, people kind of assume he's... Everybody thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
So,
people can't even see him either, so...
It's like, what do you have to lose?
It's not like he's losing a lot.
You know, it's not... You're not... You know, both him and George Sibley are dangerous guys for different reasons, but for the same broad reason is they don't... They have the worst or best, depending on how you look at it, leverage in the world. Nothing to lose. They don't care. George Sibley is going to die anyways. Nothing to lose. You can call Mary out when you want to. John is already kind of dead to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's not your life is never going to be the same anyways. And your only goal is to get Mary. So it's like, do it or die.
And John has a leg up because no one can physically see him, yeah. So he can attack literally anybody. It doesn't even have to be witches. Anyone that is in his way.
Yeah.
He really could just take out anyone. So, therefore, gains that power over people. So.
I'm telling you, man. And that knife, he's got a little special, you know.
He's got to cut off other appendages before the feet. Just let's see how creative he can get.
I'm telling you, the feet. Just, ugh. All right, hey, let's talk about mercy. So the election, just to wrap up the election real fast, obviously Hawthorne is the new magistrate, and he says, you know, him and Mary have that showdown, and he's kind of like, you know, whatever he says, you should be a woman, go do woman's work. Totally.
I could have slapped him.
I totally agree with him. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. make us
Come
a sandwich,
on,
Mary.
Could you
imagine,
cool.
Could you imagine if he said that to her? Make us a sandwich.
Ooh. Back in those days.
That would have really gotten her dander up. But she says to him, and she says, you're not my enemy now. You know, don't make
don't
yourself.
Don't make me one.
Yeah, don't make me one. Do you buy that? Is Magistrate Hawthorne really not her enemy? Because she's desperate. What was the first thing she said after that conversation when she walked back into Tituba?
They need to find the assailant. That's after the witches.
Because Sibley is so important. We cannot let him die. That was the thing.
Yeah.
Sibley is her only leverage. So because he's so important, I think Hawthorne has to be an enemy. Despite what she said, he's certainly an enemy.
Yeah. And if Hawthorne ever wants power over Mary, just go after George.
It's the same relationship.
As a human.
Yeah. It's the same relationship in a lot of ways as Increase Mather last year. Went after George, got to George, knew something was up with Mary. Increase probably knew more than Hawthorne, at least what we know of Hawthorne so far. But it's the same dynamic where Mary has to thread the needle and, like, can't openly hate Hawthorne. But behind the scenes, she's like, this is the worst dude to be here. I have to get rid of him.
Yeah,
you know?
Only because he's in the way.
Yeah, totally, 100%. And he's looking for
the
solution.
He's a pawn.
It'd be one thing if he were just a pawn, but he's looking to solve the problem, too.
Right.
If he were just an idiot who was in the way, you'd be like, okay, placate him. But he's coming after the problem, and one day we know he will find Mary one way or another.
Yeah. He's a pawn in this game, but pawns can take queens.
Oh, look at you.
What's up?
We're going to do a little Photoshop of that quote. We're going to have you sitting there and like do cloudy like trees behind you like you're in the woods. Mm-hmm. He's a pawn in the game, but pawns can take queens.
Yep.
Next week with Marissa Serafine.
And done.
okay, Mercy. First off, get her to a dermatologist immediately.
Okay, first of all, she's still alive. I mean,
we were
discussing while we were watching Bobby you.
Yeah.
And I, as a regular human being, even despite Western medicine now.
Best case scenario.
Back then, she has suffered more than third-degree burns. How is she still alive and walking around, around, with all that open flesh
but
and muscle?
This is my question. Is she alive? Because she's a witch. She has that supernatural thing. So, like, what's her...
Is her dead
yeah, what's
evil
her,
soul still going on in her physical body?
Do they still have, you know, the same dichotomy as humans? Alive or dead? You can't be in between.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe witches have other realms. Is there a supernatural thing? Has she lost her powers?
She's still very present in this world.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, everything. But anatomically and biologically, her body should not be surviving right now.
And it doesn't look thus far like she has any powers, unless the thing she said to her dad, to Reverend Lewis, about, like, you know, you'll get your manhood back when you run my errands. Maybe she still does.
And, my question to you during that, it looked like Mercy gave her father a really deep stare.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me think maybe she entranced him or used some voodoo magic on him at that moment. So maybe she still does have some controlling powers in that way. But I don't know.
I'm interested. Yeah, but that's a fair question.
I'm too
like,
disturbed by her disorienting look for her to do anything right now.
And witch has been dying left and right. The old three witches died, you know, a couple episodes ago or whatever.
She's on the brink of death.
All of Mercy's girls are gone besides Dolly. All of Mercy's girls are gone. So it's like, why is Mercy hanging around? From a character point, I understand it. We like Mercy. She's interesting. But from a logical standpoint, it's like, how did she make it out and to what degree did she make it out if everybody else is no longer here?
Okay.
So, you know?
Yeah. Question. Her in her state, physical state right now, do you think she's now a threat?
No.
Against everything that's going on.
No, and you know why, and I'm going to say this knowing that we love Sammy Hanratty, who plays Dolly, and she'll be here in a couple weeks, again, for her second appearance. I don't have any faith in Dolly doing a damn thing. And Mercy, I think, is limited or can't be seen or whatever the problem is. Mercy's, like, kind of being hidden by her father right now. And I don't have any faith in Dolly figuring this
anything
crap out.
Yeah,
Dolly, talk about a pawn. Dolly is a pawn.
Oh, for sure.
And if your pawn is the only thing out in the world, there's no way. I mean, maybe like a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, that kind of phrase. But I don't believe Dolly will have any kind of success working on Mercy's behalf. So, to answer your question, I don't think Mercy has significant
any power.
Unless something changes.
Unless she gets a new body.
Yeah,
know,
something like that.
She heals magically.
And she has power over Reverend Lewis. She has power over her dad in
some
way. Her
father. But that's right now, that's it.
Because
she's still trying to gain power over Mary. Mary still has the upper hand.
Although, remember who suffocated Isaac?
Yeah, Dolly.
No, Reverend Lewis.
Reverend Lewis, but Dolly was there.
But they were there? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, if
enticing.
She can do that
enticing,
with
yeah.
two of them, and I know Isaac is helpless, so when they meet when they meet a tougher opponent like Mary or John, you might not have as much luck with Dolly and Reverend Lewis, but they've gone the distance for her. We don't know if Isaac's dead. That's a fun comment.
Know.
There's a comment on the YouTube right now. Is Isaac dead? Because we only saw like a second of him being suffocated. He was in such a precarious spot to begin with. Common sense tells you he's gone.
Yeah.
But, dude, we gotta have Isaac. There's
but
so many.
Isaac survived so many things.
I know.
Why kill him now?
And he's had such good development with Mary and then with Dolly later. He's had such good personal development, seeing angels, you know, help me out, blah, 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 all that stuff. It's like, do you really just kill him out that unceremoniously?
Yeah, but that's the thing. The last few scenes we've seen with Isaac, he's contemplating about his life and wanting to make amends, and that's what someone wants to do at the end of their life. So maybe they are just trying to finish him off.
Oh, he knows he doesn't have long. I would be sad. He was the first character we saw. He was the very
first
Salem character. Mm-hmm. He was the one George Sibley put in the shackles, put in the head thing.
Fornicator.
Yeah, he was the fornicator. And so it's like, if he's going to leave this unceremoniously, if he's going to get like a cool death scene where something crazy happens and he gets like 45 seconds, that's okay if you can write it in. But for him to go with like a second of suffocation and the scene cuts to something else, I would be unsatisfied. I hope he's back next week.
Yeah, I don't think he's dead.
I hope not.
Because I think that was just a tease.
God, I hope so. And I don't want to believe Dolly and Reverend Lewis have it in them to go evil for Mercy.
Yeah.
You know?
Against Isaac, of all people. He's like, been through enough.
He is a key crux, though. He knows more than, like, any mortal, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's critical that
And he survived a lot of things, too.
Yeah.
So.
He survived a lot.
He's a tough cookie.
It's critical that whoever wants to get rid of him, get rid of him. Because people have tried. Mary tried and couldn't do it.
Nope.
People have tried for a long time. So maybe his time is up. I would just be sad.
Mercy could have done it herself.
Mercy's a jerk.
Yeah.
Mercy's a jerk.
Even in
but
her
a
physical,
cool jerk.
Yeah. Even in her physical state, she could have easily suffocated.
Oh yeah,
Isaac.
For sure. The makeup is awesome. The mask and the makeup and whatever she was wearing is awesome.
Slimy. It's nasty.
Oh, I love it.
When she was getting nice and close to Reverend Lewis, I'm like, ew, step away.
Or sticking her hand on Dolly's face when she like, put her hand
just
on
like,
there.
Ew, don't even touch me.
That's a question we asked Sammy Hanratty in 2 or 3 weeks. Whenever a couple weeks when she comes in.
What? How long
what was it like to have that hand on your face?
Nasty. And the boils too. Isaac's boils.
Yeah. Yeah, makeup's awesome.
Slimy.
In a lot of ways. I mean, it's TV. This is the way it is.
Yeah, it's
But it's
slimy.
Awesome. It's really, really cool. Yeah, that'll be a good one. Actually, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's do it now while we're talking about Dolly, because we don't know if she'll be here next week, if Dolly will be in the show next week. And Sammy's coming, what, May 10th?
May 10th.
So Sammy Hanratty, who plays Dolly, you guys saw tonight, is coming May 10th to this studio. She was here last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to interview her again. So if you guys have a question for her, we'll talk about this next week too. But if you got a question for her, tweet it to us at Bobby DeMuro, at Serafini TV, or comment in the YouTube of this episode. If you comment in this YouTube, you want to know something about her character or Mercy or really Salem in general, maybe there's some stuff she's not, at liberty to say.
Yeah.
But ask it. I mean, take a chance. Ask the question. We'll ask it for her. We'll, have a list of the best ones or all of them, depending on how many we get.
We'll give you a shout out.
And we'll just do like a, rapid fire. We'll put her on the couch and be like, here, Sammy, 1, 2, 3, 4, get them all. So that'll
good.
Be May 10th. So ask questions on YouTube or Twitter for us.
Yeah.
And that'll be good for next week, too. So either way, we're going to stock them all and ask them. And you guys at home will be doing our job for us. We won't have to prepare for the interview. They'll do it.
We'll prepare, of course.
Okay,
of
maybe course. A little bit.
We're not slackers.
We'll ask her, like, what her favorite color is. And you
also
know.
Comment on iTunes. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You can. Yeah, iTunes, too. If it's part of a comment on iTunes, you're right. I forgot that. If it's part of a comment on iTunes, we check that, too. So iTunes, YouTube, or Twitter, or all three, you know.
And speaking of which, you know, this is a good time to remind all of our fans and listeners and our audience out there that we are still giving away the Salem Press Packet Season 2 disc with the episode 1 of this season.
It's outside in the kitchen right now, isn't it?
It's awesome.
We should have just brought it in.
Still giving away.
Yeah, it's like a little, like, it's got all of Season 2?
No, just the first episode of Season 2.
Okay, gotcha. And all the press materials.
The press material, the graphics, all the paper, and it's amazing. It's awesome packaging.
That's good Salem stuff.
Yeah, so make sure to comment, leave ratings, comments, follow us on Twitter, AfterBuzz, Bobby DeMuro, Serafini TV. Give us 5 stars, tell us why you love us, and a lucky winner will get the press packet.
That's
make
awesome.
Sure you put your Twitter in the iTunes comment.
Yes.
There you go.
Twitter.
So follow three of us on Twitter, AfterBuzz TV, Bobby DeMuro, Serafini TV. Go on iTunes, on the podcast version, go on our iTunes show. Hit 5 stars, please. No, but really. Hit 5 stars, leave a comment, include your Twitter handle. And you're entered. And if you don't enter, I'm taking this home.
I know. I wanted to take it
home. No, you have it all. I'm taking it home. You have access to it. I'm taking it home.
All right, fair
so,
enough.
And even if you do enter, I'm going to cheat and take it. No, I'm just kidding. all right, let's get back in. There are a couple of loose ends, I guess, to tie up because the election was the big story. Mercy was, creepy. Let's go down the line. We hit about Isaac. The first thing I want to talk about down the line in the smaller storylines, but still important, is the choking, the autoerotic asphyxiation, they call it, and then the kiss.
Totally.
Let me just say
there's
this.
A lot of weird kissing going on in the show.
Really, really weird, and I'm not into this stuff, but also really hot. It was really hot.
We both looked at each other. We're like, ooh.
Like, I'm not down to do that, but like.
But Mary is.
Ooh, yeah.
She's turned on.
Yeah, Mary's turned on by a lot of stuff.
So is Wainwright. He was definitely turned on.
Now,
he's the one that kissed her.
Does Mary leave because she's repulsed by Wainwright or because she's into him and she can't take the risk right now?
Oh, I think it's the latter.
Interesting, because the same thing happened with John in the start of the first season.
Yeah, but also, Wainwright's right now is really the only one questioning her right now.
Yeah.
And really challenging her in that way.
In the deeper way.
Physically, psychologically and whatnot. But also, I think it's just interesting how this, even the first 2 episodes when we see Mary and Wainwright together, you can see the chemistry on screen. So they're definitely playing up this relationship.
So is Wainwright her new love interest of some degree? And is John...
Some degree, yeah.
Is John ever going to be a love interest again?
No,
I can't see it.
I don't see it either.
I'm sure like it could come around and something could happen. But at present, if it keeps going like we think it might, I can't ever see him being a love interest. He's a sworn enemy now. He's got a deeper,
he's on a war path right now. And he's so completely a different person than the season one John that we know.
Yeah.
And then, but Wainwright right now is just sexy.
I didn't think that about the kiss. Not about Wainwright personally. I just like the kiss in general. You can take that one
every
alone.
Every time they meet so far, Mary and Wainwright, it's very flirtatious.
Yeah.
Very flirtatious.
Well, if you were in a small town with a plague going on and witches and stuff, and you're of age, and your husband's 130 and has a frog in his mouth, any new guy starts to look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah. This isn't L.A. where people are moving
Mary,
in.
I'd say, Mary, go for it.
But
she has her needs too.
She does. But like, use protection. Like, we don't know where these people have
magical
been.
Magical protection.
Yeah, like just use some kind of, Wainwright. Like, I'm not saying he's gross, but it's like.
But
you
he's
know.
Immune. Remember?
Yeah. Well, so we don't. Maybe there's something there.
Maybe.
Who knows? that kiss though. That'll be an interesting thing
that
to see.
That was sexy.
I hope Wainwright doesn't just exist here to be the love interest. I hope there's more of a challenge that's going on. I hope there's another storyline with him. But if he's just kind of there to take care and put the pieces together and flirt, it's like, okay, but that's kind of the simplest thing you could do with him.
Mm-hmm.
I would love if he had his own powers. If he were like a mole or a plant, if an Increased Mather type person planted him to get information, oh, that'd be deep.
Ooh.
That's going to be one of my predictions. I'll call it right now.
And he's one of the only people that can get in and out of places because of the pox that's going on. And he will go to places that other people won't.
Exactly. Have you ever asked why he's immune?
There's a reason.
Interesting. We'll see, though. That's all prediction stuff. I mean, I guess we could actually jump there now. But real quick before we do it, I want to hit the Countess.
Yeah.
And the biting.
Ew.
And the lip.
Again, biting.
A lot of, like, facial bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like...
Okay, why? The question is, we saw last week she did it with Anne.
Yep.
And now this week she did it with Mary. I think the Countess is after all the female witches right now.
Or all witches, period.
Or just witches. Right now we've only seen two females that she's gone after.
Tituba's next.
Yeah, Tituba's next. Who else would be next?
Even though... I don't like Tituba's character at all. We talked about this watching the show, and I'm going to say it on air now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find Tituba's character interesting. I just like every time Tituba and Mary are kind of infighting on screen, I'm like, let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But that's the thing we were watching. It's like, what has she brought to the table other than just stopping Mary at certain moments and keeping her in check? That's it.
Yeah.
But we still know Mary's more powerful.
Oh, 100%. And Tituba,
so why is Tituba still around?
Tituba kind of messes up a lot. But Tituba is also Mary's confidant.
And eyes.
Yeah.
And eyes and ears.
And if Mary got on Tituba's bad side or vice versa, Tituba could be more damaging than George Sibley if she decided to go that route. You know, so you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And Tituba's a friend, but she could also so easily become an enemy. You got to keep around. You can't just be like, hey, whatever, girl. See you later. No, blood in, blood out. It's like joining a gang. I mean,
it is exactly like joining a gang. In a way.
And their gang color is black.
Black magic.
That's a really inappropriate joke, but whatever.
It's terrible.
Welcome back, Bobby.
Yeah, send your hate tweets to Bobby.
But if you follow me while you hate tweet me, you're still eligible for the prize pack.
Still an entry.
And then we've got Anne and Cotton. I know we're kind of running out of time because Game of Thrones, excuse me, ran a little long. We'll get on them next week. It's just Game of Thrones. Right. Who cares?
Who doesn't love Game of Thrones?
Me. I've never seen it.
Whatever. I've only seen five episodes, but we digress.
Salem. Okay. Anne and Cotton... Definitely romantic interest. Were you picking that up at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I said last week, Cotton has a type.
Yeah.
Redheads.
Yeah. Oh, Gloriana.
We won't see her. Sorry, Bobby.
No, you know why you won't see her?
That ship has sailed.
Do you know why you won't see her? Her and I are getting married next month. Yeah, she left the
acting.
Well,
where's my invitation?
Well, we're going to do it in Vegas, and then we're going to actually elope and live in Australia.
Okay, well, fair enough.
So
good luck to both of you.
Yeah, just a couple more episodes, and I'll be, you know, me and Gloriana.
There you go. All right. So long as you're happy.
Right. Hopefully she is. The actress who played Gloriana is going to see this and be like, who is this guy? Get him out of there.
No, but Gloriana is gone, but now Anne is in the picture.
Similar physical type, for sure. Cotton kind of has a type.
And she's scary.
Yeah.
What's up with her?
And she's got a dark side, and we know Cotton likes dark sides.
Do you think she's a witch? Because her magic, whatever that she has, is so different than all the other witches that we've seen. So my question is, and I think I posed it even in season one after shows, is she really a witch, or is she more of a demon type?
I was going to say demon is the word, because the eyes go red.
Yeah, very devilish.
And the theme, like just the thematic colors and choices. Witches, black. Demons, red. Very, you know, stereotypical, and maybe they're not doing that. But that's just the first thing I think of. It's like a devil or a demon or like some other power than just witchcraft.
Oh, and I gotta say, even to go back to Mercy, when we saw her in our physical decrepit form, she sounded like the devil.
Yeah,
even her voice was like raspy. Yeah. It sounded like she was the devil.
That could also be the burns.
Yeah, that too. And like
her lungs are ravaged with smoke.
Right. Her larynx isn't all the way there. But, yeah, interesting. Devil, red, I think Anne is more demon-like.
I think so, too. I guess we'll find out. She's got a weird... Although she's the spawn of a witch, obviously, in Magistrate Hale. So who is it? Who? Anne's mom. We need to know a little bit more about Mrs.
We got to question all the spawns.
Yeah.
Because even Mary's son, what a psycho sociopath.
Yeah, he's every checkbox on the... Yeah. That
killing
kid's got
a
problems.
Dove out of all the birds, the symbol of hope, and literally killing a dove
and peace, the white dove, peace and all that stuff. And then what he did with George Sibley last week when he was like trying to get
the toenail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See the physical
feet, man.
Elements.
Feet. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess
definitely stepping up the gross factor.
I guess we'll see. I just want to know who's on what team. I know. 3/4 of the show is you don't know who's on what team and they got to develop it. But, like, I want to know who's on what team, and then I want the battle. I want the grand right to actually begin in earnest. I want, you know, everything that's been foretold to happen and, like, the apocalyptic battle. Like, that's what we're gearing up for. But bring it on. I would watch,
but that's
like
the
six.
Thing. We were supposed to have the apocalyptic battle with the grand right, and
know.
It never really fully executed. So now it's still kind of going on in the prolonging it. So it's like, what else do they have to add to it for it to actually go down?
And we are giving them a lot of leeway by just, like, letting that happen and not criticizing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, quick question about the girl who projectile vomited into the water. Was she just a manifestation of the Countess?
It looked like whiskey because it was dark. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the question. I think the Countess
Even though
just,
that was sick.
It was sick. It was like something from Saw, the movie Saw.
It was like 10 seconds
Or not Saw, it was The Ring.
The Ring.
The movie
The Ring.
Yeah. Saw, Jesus. No, I think she was used by the Countess, obviously, but she was a normal girl who gets dragged in and used. And then did you notice she was like walking really slowly to go vomit? She was like hobbling around. She looked like she was, you know, on heroin or something. Like you'd see somebody on heroin shuffling around. And then she goes there, she vomits, and then she runs off. It's like she snapped out of it and she was like, whoa, why am I here?
Boom. It's gone.
Yeah, and she's just a normal kid again, and she would have like blacked out.
Yeah,
or something.
So she was just under the control of
the
Countess.
I think so. For the short term, the Countess was like, let me use somebody.
For
real
that
quick.
10 seconds of vomiting.
Who's never going to, you know, remember this. And she'll wake up like Men in Black where they flash your eyes.
Right.
And you have no memory of it or whatever.
People are never here.
Exactly. So I don't think like that girl, I don't think the girl is significant in and of herself. It was just.
She was just a pawn.
She was the vehicle. She was the conduit to get the gross, you know, vomit water, you know, and whatever demon spell into the water, into the bath.
Mary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's do predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Sorry, my voice got like that. I'm going through puberty. It's a trip. I'm gonna have my driver's permit next year.
And you're getting married?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's a big year for me. Let's do nice tie-in to the previous joke. That's
there
good.
You go.
We like that. All right. Okay, predictions. I've got one right now. I'll let you think of yours because I already said this one.
Yes, go.
Wainwright is more than just the doctor. He's a double agent, which we already could have assumed safely because he's a new character, so you want to be skeptical. But he's a double agent with his own superpowers because I don't think just like how many people are magically immune to this who are around it all the time every day. There are no, you know, medicine. They don't have medicine we do today. He's like touching Isaac. He should be dead, and he's obviously not.
Yeah.
So the story of him being immune, I'm like, yeah, you're immune because you've got your own supernatural thing. If you're part of another coven of witches, if you're part of this coven, of Mary's coven, and you're coming to destroy them because they're messing everything up, that would be wild.
Ooh.
If he's part of the coven, sent
there
in
goes
as
your
a,
mole theory.
Sent in as a double. That's my prediction. Okay, never mind. That's my prediction. He is part of Mary's coven. This is crazy. He's part of the whole, you know, that group of witches.
Mm-hmm.
He has been sent in by elders from elsewhere to systematically kill and get rid of Mary and Tituba and all these other witches because they are coming too close. They botched the grand rite, and they're coming too close to being found out by humans, by mortals. And he is going to get there to wipe out the whole thing in some way, maybe, and just start anew with a new group in a new city later on. Boom!
Wow.
That's a big one.
So would it, if he reversed the pox, reversed the plague, therefore reverse the Craigs, which can't do the grand right?
Exactly. So he reverses them all. He eliminates all the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe he has to burn down, metaphorically, has to burn down the whole town to eliminate all the humans, too.
Mm-hmm.
Does, I don't know specifics, but like...
Filtering.
They raise whatever. The entire thing. They just say, forget this stuff. Everything's gone. We start over in a new city, in a new place. I know that has like a 1% probability of happening, but that's pretty badass if I do say so myself.
Interesting. Okay, that's a really good one. I think because we see in the preview that Cotton now knows that John is back in town.
Yes.
So apparently John somehow gets revealed in some way because he's walking around in town all throughout tonight's episode. No one sees him. So eventually maybe that magic wears off, whatever. I don't know. He's going to pair up with Cotton, and they're going to take out the witches themselves. But also, I think Anne is going to be the unpredictable demon force to go against Mary and all of this.
Oh, and for sure.
It's going to be Anne, Mary all the way.
And we've wanted a John Cotton alliance for some time. And it looked last season like it was going to happen. And it kind of did, kind of didn't.
And then he got exiled. Yeah. Both of them got exiled.
We want that John Cotton alliance. I think those are the good guys.
But now they have the same objective, to take out all the witches.
That's actually a great question. Here's my question for you, because you just brought it up. It just got me thinking. And we will ask it to the viewers at home to wrap up the show. Who are the good guys in this show? Who are you rooting for? Like, as characters, who are we supposed to get behind? I think it is John and Cotton. For all of Cotton's faults, for all of John's faults, I think the two of them together are the Batman and Robin, or whatever you want to call them.
The Hardy Boys.
Those are the good guys. Yeah, those are the good guys. The witches are bad. The Selectmen are bad for different reasons. I think Anne's going to prove herself to be a bad witch or demon or whatever she is. Mm-hmm. I think John and Cotton are the good guys.
Yeah, they're the good guys. But I want to say Anne is still good. So maybe if she uses her magical power beings, whatever, in a good way, she might take out Mary.
Interesting. That's the question for you guys at home. We asked like six of them. You can answer all of them.
Yeah.
And give us questions for Sammy Hanratty. But the question for you guys at home is, who are you rooting for in this? Witches, Selectmen, John, Cotton, the two of them together, Anne. A lot of teams. Wainwright, sure, why not? Who are you rooting for in this, and why? You can comment on YouTube. You can send us tweets with that. And remember, as we get done here, comment on Sammy Hanratty. Ask us questions for Sammy Hanratty. She'll be here in 2 weeks. It's the end of April, right? Or 3 weeks. She'll be here May 10th. I can't do calendar math.
But me neither.
Yeah, 3 weeks. She'll be here in 3 weeks. I'm an idiot.
I'm an art major.
Ask us questions for Sammy Hanratty. She plays Dolly. We will ask those on May 10th for you guys. I'm at Bobby DeMuro. She is at Serafini TV. You can remember in the prize pack, follow us both. Follow AfterBuzz TV. Get on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Comment on iTunes. Include your Twitter handle so we know. And you are entered to win the AfterBuzz TV Salem prize pack. The press package. It's really cool.
Awesome.
It's got a DVD of episode 1 of season 2. It's got a bunch of promotional materials from Salem. It comes in this like triangular like Malum box almost. Mm-hmm. Like it's awesome. We'll bring it out next week.
Yeah.
Next week we'll bring it out and actually show it.
Yep.
All right. Cool. That's it this week. We'll be back next Sunday and from then on with Salem. I'm Bobby. That's Marissa. See you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.